Howard.
Got a lot of work to do.
Here?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. So, guys, all here. I was actually watching your video. I think what we may do, guys, I got Chris and Paul in here with us. I think we should probably, if you all have seen the videos, we should probably watch them together. Go back and say, you watch all of them?
I've watched some of them.
Yeah. I was watching week three, and you mentioned in the video that there's a lot of work to complete, and yeah, we're already way behind for sure.
So, what else did you see on the video that you thought was worthwhile?
Well, I think it's, so you talked about the five-star process and kind of the team. Now, we've got three of us. So I'm the financial advisor on the team, and both Paul and Chris are kind of service-oriented at this point. I'm trying to get Chris, actually, Paul, actually, to go get his CFA. He claims he can breeze through it, so we'll see.
I did not think I could breeze through it.
I think that'd be a nice designation for the team to have. And then Chris is finishing school, and he's got to get licensed, and he's working part-time, so Monday, Wednesday, Friday right now. So that's kind of how we stack up at this point. I like the five-star model, for sure, but we kind of have to work back into it, it looks like.
All right, so why don't you guys, you know, based on, forget about, you know, what your positions are right now.
Yes.
Why don't you use the five-star model, have a meeting after this, and decide who's in charge of what?
Okay.
Okay.
Probably watch this whole video.
Right, and Shannon should be included. So you really have four people, right?
Oh, no. Where are we getting Shannon? She's not part. Oh, did you heard that on my message?
No, I'm sorry, I missed that. What's going on?
Okay, so Shannon, Paul is the new Shannon. She was my old assistant.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I heard her. Okay.
Probably. Well, she may have worked. She might. Have, yeah, she was my old assistant. You probably picked
okay.
her up from voicemail, but she also worked with Rob Reich at one point.
Okay. All right, so it's just the three of you. So the three of you get together, and you can tell from the video, if you watch the video, what each role is and why it's important. And, part of the game is getting your service model organized, but it's also important to get your overall team organized.
Yes.
And then Supernova, each part, right?
Yep.
So your planning process, your investment process, your service process, your marketing process, and your leadership process. They should all be Supernova. They should all be 80-20. They should all be very focused. They shouldn't be wasting time. So, your investment process, the average financial advisor has something like 350 different mutual funds. So I'm sure you don't have that, but the average guy is not organized when it comes to the investment process. They can do a good job, but it's not the same for every single client with the same investment objective. And that's
yeah,
where you want to
go. So I'm working with Paul on that to look at the overall process and how to streamline that to where, I don't have, a different process for every account.
Right.
Different set of investments for every
enormous account. Amounts of time away from what you should be doing. So part of our job is to help you find time, right? So we're not going to waste time on small accounts. We're not going to waste time on 350 different mutual funds. We're not going to waste time on having a different planning process for each client. We're not going to waste time on having 50 different marketing ideas. We're going to streamline the entire process so that everything is consistent and everybody understands exactly the other person's job.
Yeah.
All right. When I was in the Navy, we were cross-trained for obvious reasons that if you were in a squadron and one person got killed, the other could pick up whatever he was doing and do it.
Right.
All right. We're not in that position. We're going to get killed, but we certainly people leave, and if they're the only ones that understand the process, then the whole team is at risk.
That is true.
Okay? So everybody should know the other guy's job. They don't have to do it, but they should know it.
Y'all can all do my job, right?
Okay, so... Alright, so what... My question, opening question is always the same. What's on your mind this week?
Well, I mean, I think what's on our minds is I think we kind of go back and catch up to what we need to be doing where we are right now and growing, right? I mean, that's what I'm most concerned with. So I think marketing clearly is an FA. Marketing and leadership probably should be what my hat is, I would guess. From your perspective, would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we need to clean up, streamline, get out the message. Did you guys name it yet? I asked them to think about what to name it.
No,
the process. Name the process, right? Articulate it, do it, and then, start working on referrals and COIs. I've set up some COI meetings, and I've got 1.2 million in new assets in, and I'm working on a new prospect right now with about 3.5. He's coming in next week, and I've already in an email detailed our process. I think he liked it. And I think he's kind of testing me on it, too. He sent me a couple of emails to see how quickly I'd get back to him. And I think the other day I got back to him in an hour and a half. So I'm just waiting for him to come back and say, I thought you said 1 hour.
So what's his, where did you get him from?
Yeah, good question. So he, it's actually through my church. He and I was chairman of the finance committee for a church. I don't go there as much, but... Church I was heavily involved in for a long time, and he's a little bit of a serial entrepreneur. He's in the government, surprise, government technology space within the intelligence community, and he's currently a Deloitte partner, makes really good money, and his wife and him, like I said, have 3.5 million, and he approached me right around Thanksgiving, to see if I was interested in his account, see if it was big enough, and I said yes. So we've been going around and around, and we're finally going to meet next Monday. I've actually already done a lot of planning work for him. I've pretty much done, not a comprehensive plan, but a lot of it, just in good faith to try to win the business.
Sure, good. Excellent. Okay, what else is on your mind?
I don't know of anything else. Then we need to step on the gas and catch up with all the pieces. Chris is anxious to start working on the folders, by the way, and I know that's in your video, and that's a good one we should watch. But definitely the folder system is and what I was going to say to you, are you familiar with Coffee Talk? Rob,
I'm sorry, what?
Are you familiar with Copy Talk?
Copy Talk? No, I don't think so.
It's a dictation system, so when I meet with a client, I call into a recording and dictate the... Dow's off 400 now. I dictate the details of the meeting, and then it goes to my assistant Chris, and he puts it in our contact management files. I was thinking... logistically, it would be good to put that into a Word document so it's all typed out instead of handwritten, and then put that file, kind of a continuous file of all the conversations I've had with the clients in, typewritten, in the client folder. For some
sure,
reason, so yeah. I have that, wouldn't have to read my scribble.
Right. Good. That's smart.
Copy and paste and put the notes in contact management and Outlook now, the Outlook, so every client would have a separate Word document.
Yeah.
It'd be just a name of the client, notes, or name of the client, meetings.
Okay.
And so every meeting, there'd be a date and, typed details of the meeting, recommendations, all that stuff, so, and then, space between each meeting. So an ongoing Word document. So at any given time, I could look back and see the history of every conversation we've had in that one page or two pages or three pages.
Sorry.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to going and printing off crap from the contact management system, I could look at it right then and say, back in,
All right. Keep in mind, Howard, you're going to send them an executive summary of the call.
Yeah.
So that's the perfect way to do it. Because you're going to be, and then Chris, you can just pick off from that either exactly as Howard's done it, or if not, you might have to number them or the items or whatever. But so, Howard, when you're dictating it, why don't you dictate it as if it's an executive summary?
Okay, good point.
So you can put your notes in as you think of them from the call. So you just dictate into the thing, and then you go, this is executive summary. Number one, boom. Number two, number three, number four. And those would be the action steps and the who's responsible for doing what by when.
Yeah. So we can
talk about that's what's going to impress the heck out of your client. Okay, that's going to really impress them.
Yeah. And prospects. I mean, I'm anxious you got to have this running for a bit because prospect may come back and say, I want to talk to some of your clients who have this experience, right? But,
right.
I mean, so what he's talking about is like a 90-day trial period to talk to a client, say, I'm not sure, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know how you articulate this to a prospect, but just say, hey, you know what? I've been talking for a while. Why don't we just let you try out our process? Why don't we? I just treat you like a client. Let's go through this for a few minutes but if it's a prospect, wouldn't you want to do like weekly calls for a little bit, or do you do monthly?
I mean, that's up to you. You can check in with them. You can send them emails. You can do it weekly. Hey, the 90-day free look is let's say you had 12 prospects, right, that were going.
Yep.
See what I mean? You put them in and you check back monthly, and that's not too much.
Yeah.
If you got 3 prospects, you can check back weekly, But let's say you had 20 prospects. So each one, you got a folder for each one. You just put them into your scheduler just like they were clients, and they pop up monthly. You'd send them an agenda and then call them. Then you send them an executive summary of what you talked about.
Yeah. So that's the key. With prospects, I'm not doing that now, right? Agenda, talk, follow-up email. Not doing that with anybody.
Yeah.
That definitely would, especially if it's in a structured, professional, not just notes.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure,
Kind of follow-up, right, Rob?
Yeah, you'd never lose any of these prospects. You put them in the system, you make a folder for them. They're all qualified. You know that ahead of time. You're not going to do this to somebody that's not qualified. So you first qualify them, make up a – they can't close. You close them if you can, right? But this guy, you wouldn't do this for this guy because you can close him.
Right.
But if you get to the point where the guy says, it's my fraternity brother, I've had him for – 20 years, he's not that bad, he's okay. And you go, listen, why don't we do this? Why don't we give you what we call our 90-day free look? And then you can use the analogy. You know, I just bought a new car, and the reason I bought it is the guy told me, you know, why don't you just take this home for the weekend and drive it? And, you know, I got it home. I loved it. And it was so different from what I had that it was worth it. And so I went back and said, hey, I like it. So this is a lot more important than that new car. So why don't we give it 90 days, and you tell me if what we're doing isn't, you know, dramatically different than what you're getting now. If it isn't, fine.
Yeah.
But if it is, then it'll make it easier for you to make a decision. The guy goes, okay, that's fair. And so you just sign him up. So you give him a folder, just like he had signed, just treat him as if he just said yes. Okay? Mm-hmm. Except you don't ACAT it in, that's all. You get the information about it, you find out all about him, you begin the financial planning process, and then you call him with agenda items to discuss. Maybe you talk about the new tax law, how it might affect him, things like that. And then you send him an executive summary, and then you know, that's it. And you know, email him things, and if he's very active and you need to do more, you do more. You know, if you need to talk to him every week, you talk to him every week. But that scheduled appointment is 1 month. So he gets the idea of what it's going to be like.
Okay.
You can always talk to clients more, but yeah, you can never talk to them less than once a month. People say to me, well, I'm a transactional guy. You know, how do I do that? I said, you're just going to talk to your clients more than once a month.
Yeah.
But you always have a scheduled appointment, and that appointment is not about transactions. That scheduled appointment is about that person's life.
Yeah.
About their plan, about their future, about their personal issues and financial issues.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you can see how it all ties together when you use it as a, you know, you say, well, I don't want to do an executive summary. And you say, I say to you, you're blowing it for marketing purposes, because the executive summary is critical to making you different from the other guys.
Yep.
So a lot of people will have an agenda, but nobody has an executive summary. Nobody hands them a folder.
Yeah.
You know, nobody treats them.
Yeah, hand them a folder. And a two-hole punch.
Right. Bingo. You get the marketing thing.
Get this.
You know, I just gave some money to Wake Forest. I gave a couple of scholarships. And, you know, I could give it to any sport, right? I played tennis. So I gave you know, a couple of scholarships for tennis. But the golf coach is so nice. He's so attentive. And he's Jerry Haas. Jay Haas's brother at Wake Forest. You know, famous name, Bill Haas, you know, FedEx winner. That's his nephew. So we go to Hawaii. I'm helping out the team with a little transportation. And they, you know, he writes me a note. The assistant coach writes me a note. A player writes me a note. I meet one of the players here on the island. I you know, treat him to a round of golf. And I just gave another couple of scholarships. So, of course, he writes me a long letter with his personal, you know, personal cell phone number. It says, Rob, if I can ever do anything for you, you know, call me. Well, hell, where do you think I'm going to give more money?
Right. Yeah.
Right? It's marketing. This guy's a genius at marketing. He's the nicest guy in America, okay? But he's also a great marketer.
And this is a... What's the name?
Haas? Yeah, Jerry Haas.
Jay Haas is
his brother.
Okay, wow.
So Jerry played on the tour and is, you know, not as good as Jay, but he's a great player. And so he played two rounds of golf with you know, the team was playing in a tournament there. He took the time to play two rounds of golf with us.
Yeah.
You know, he helps out, takes a video of your swing, comes back and gives you some tips and points, writes you a note when he leaves. I mean, all those wonderful things. You just take a page right from him, okay? The personal note after you meet with somebody, not an email, a personal note, you know, sends me another, you know, sends me another golf shirt from the team. And I mean, it's just, I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
For somebody looking to do a little philanthropy, where do you think I'm going to do it, right?
Absolutely.
So it's not complicated.
No. No, that's true. It's not complicated, but so many people, or few people do it. Follow through.
Right.
It takes time.
It takes time. And it takes an interest. And it takes some brains.
Yep.
You know, he grew up in that servant mentality. That, you know, the golf pro servant mentality. And it's just a pleasure to be with him.
Yeah.
He doesn't think he's, you know, golf, you know, superstar, but he's a great coach, a great guy, and, you know, what a treat being with him, right?
Yes.
Oh.
So what do you think I should be doing with this, by the way, so we're going to be watching the videos and kind of taking our cues from the videos and the booklet. Did you guys print the booklet out? Probably not. So there's assignments in the booklet, and there's also recordings of our conversation. So we should be getting all that stuff done there. And then these calls are kind of more what's on our mind, open-ended, right, Rob?
Right. These are to answer questions that you have after you've discussed the week's lesson.
Okay.
And you've tried things that I've suggested.
Okay, so we should be watching the video first together, taking notes, figuring out what we're going to do, who's going to do what. And then we come to this with any questions we have. And, you know, I would have one question. So my prospect that I've got right now, what's your recommendation on what I should be doing with him, if anything different? So I've talked with him a number of times, done some work for him, you know, kind of off hours, so I'm responsive to that. On the weekends, he's emailed me a couple of times. I've done almost a full Envision plan with him, and, you know, I don't know, having a dozen or so emails back and forth. So, you know, doing a lot of work for him for free at this point. He wants to look at what it would mean if you wanted to move inside the Beltway, spend 1.7 on a new home, da 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 da. What do you recommend with him when he comes in next week as far as closing him? And I'll be talking with him. I'll be meeting with him like right before our call. I'll meet with him next week at 11 a.m.
Well, I mean, one of the things, if he's a type A personality, he's not going to want to waste time. He's going to want to do it, right?
Thanks.
So I always like a very gentle, assumptive close.
Okay,
flattering, you know, make him feel good, make mm-hmm. him feel important, but just, you know, have the paperwork ready, have everything ready to go, have him say, you know, make him say no.
Okay. Bring your paperwork.
People don't like to say no. You know, you don't want to be pushy, but yeah. On the other hand, you want to be efficient. So, you know, the question really becomes, where is his pain? You know, what are his pain points? Why is he here? Why has he chosen you, and why is he here? You got to be able to answer those things, or you can't close them.
And what should I try to get that item before the meeting or during the meeting?
Well, I mean, I always ask people those questions, because how can I know the answers if I don't ask the questions?
Yeah. Simple enough, but...
I know, you know, I used to ask, here's another good question to ask. What did you like about the financial advisors and your experiences that you've had in the past, and what didn't you like?
Okay.
Howard, you like this? You know how I learned that technique?
Say that again?
Do you know how I learned that technique?
No, tell me.
I used to, when I was in Pensacola, I was a Navy pilot, and I had a wonderful time. I was you know, learning to fly, and on the weekends we'd meet a lot of lovely ladies. I was single. And that
you
was
talked
my
about
first
Mexico already? I think I told you I grew up in Mississippi. I went to Destin like every other minute.
Oh yeah, it's
in
awesome.
Bar Beach.
Greatest beaches in the world.
Yeah, they really are.
I would meet a lot of lovely young ladies, and I'd ask them that question. What did you like about your other boyfriends, and what didn't you like?
There's a lot of similarities between walking into a bar and, you know, finding
right.
one to take home with you. Sorry, guys. And I did a lot of that. And walking into Pier 56 in Fort Lauderdale and finding a prospect. And the grill.
Oh, you know what? It's the truth. You got to be comfortable. You know, I was the point man for my brother and I, and I was the point man for some of my other officers. You know, I would always be the one to go find the girls. So you got to have courage, and you got to have some simple lines. You know, and don't be boastful and don't be rude, but you got to prospect, and it works.
I like it. So Frank, tell us why you're here. What are you doing here? So you come in with the paperwork.
That's
right there in your hand. Right? Maybe you'll be here too. So maybe should I bring them all in to say hello and then let he and I just spend time together?
Yeah, that's great. Introduce the team.
Yeah. And I may have actually an insurance guy that's gonna come by too. Just kind of, you know, I don't want to get too many people in there, and then they can step out.
Right. You just bring them in, introduce them, and then let them go.
Yeah.
It just says, you know, it's not just me, and I'm successful. Without bragging, it says I'm successful. Here's my team.
Yep. Yeah, I was kind of bringing them in, kind of walking around the office and stuff like that, and then take them to a client-friendly private wealth office, meeting conference center with private rooms, and then they could leave, and I could talk to him individually. Ask him what.
Well, don't remember how
I wanted to waste my time for it.
Right. Remember when you and I first started talking, right?
Yep.
I asked you why are you interested in hiring me?
Yeah. Well, volume of contacts, but I clearly, and as you probably noticed in my first in talking about the top 20 clients, I'm not getting nearly enough out of that.
No, you're not.
As I should or could probably.
A lot in common there. You got a lot of, you know, you've done. They're very good, and they've got a lot in common, and there's opportunities to network in all those.
Yes.
Not
all of new lows here, down 445. What a wonderful day.
Well, that's what we were looking for, right? We wanted a wash. You got to get a washout. You can't build a base on.
That's right.
On a, you know, on a lot of doubt. You got to get the sellers out of there. The weak hands. That's good. That's good.
We're still above where we started the year. Haven't even cut into 2017's. So,
what you want to be doing and what you want to be talking to your clients about is relative strengths, right? So let's look at our relative strengths of our portfolio. How is the overall portfolio performing on a relative strength basis? And then how are the individual securities, if you're managing individual securities, how are they doing on a relative strength basis?
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to be looking for the strongest among, you know, as the thing goes down, which ones are holding up the best.
Yep.
And that's going to be your new leadership when we bump off the bottom. And it won't be, you know, it'll be a couple of months.
Yeah.
You know that. You've been around long enough.
Of course. Looking, and hopefully you can help me with this, but every time this happens, I don't do it, but looking back in hindsight, I'm like, Why wasn't I out prospecting more at that point? Because that's when people get nervous. That's when people tend to, you know, look at their own advisor and say, well, I'm not getting that from him, and I need some help right now.
Well, Howard, this is where Supernova is brewing, okay? Because when you're talking to every client every month, when this happens,
there's
no issue.
Right.
Okay? You don't have to stop and call all your clients and make assure them and tell them everything's going to be okay, because you're talking to them every month.
Agreed.
I'll give you a quick story. I was sitting in an office in Michigan in 2008, I think it was. It was the middle of the crash, you know, middle of awfulness.
Yeah. What, in August of 2008? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it would have been somewhere around there. And I was in there, and I was talking to a team that had hired me, and I had spoken to the office, and then I was speaking to this team. And the manager came in to our group and said, the market's down like this. Market's down 400. You guys make sure that you call all your clients.
Or
he left, and then they looked at me, and they all started laughing. And I said, so what are you guys laughing at? He said, because it's ridiculous. We call our clients every month because we're Supernova. We don't need to stop and call our clients. They know what's going on. We've been talking to them about this every month. And so it proved to me the different level of comfort that you have when you know you're talking to all your clients every month.
Absolutely.
And people have said to me, I don't want to go through the next recession, you know, with 600 clients or 300 clients or whatever. I want to have my core clients, and I want to talk to them every month because it's not worth it to go through this again. And so they hire me.
No doubt about it. All right, so speaking of, you caught my, you reminded me. So, guys, this guy, Rob, says, I could be doing, let's say, you said 5 million with two assistants. That's what I heard you say, right?
That's right.
You weren't drinking that morning, were you?
No. You can do 5 million with two assistants. Easy.
Yeah, assistants. It's not going to overload us.
Right.
And it's not going to overload you because we're not going to have any more clients. We're going to have different clients. That's all.
I did 807 last year. My run rate going in this year so far, if I just keep what I've got at the rate I'm at 750. So, over what period of time should we? Because I like to do long term and then back into short term planning, of course, right?
Right.
What's the goal?
Well, we said okay,
5 million.
We wanted to add. Well, I haven't done your math, but you and I talked about 2017. We talked about having 225 million in 2018.
Yep.
It should be a 50K addition. Okay, and if you want to grow faster, we just, you know, make that 100. But
50 million addition.
Right, 50 million, right.
Okay.
So I think that's a good goal.
Yep.
50 million is reasonable. It's not crazy. It's not going to make you crazy. But what happens is when you get into the acquisition mode, you can then have, then good things happen. And you get the surprise on the upside.
Yep. And then we just need to talk about how you guys benefit from that.
Already. I already know how I got
you already benefit. Chris has got to get, you got to get licensed so you can directly benefit from it. Because what happens is he's paid a percentage of the rev, right? So as my number goes up, his number goes up.
Exactly. Yeah, Chris told me how it works.
Yeah. And there's other stuff we can do. Maybe that's something I come back to you. Had a team.
Well,
you got to go. I'm sorry, it's 135. So had a team's, share compensation and stuff like that.
We have a new book coming out on teams, so we'll have you get that, read that, and we'll talk to you about building teams. That's a whole nother coaching session, you know, but it's it can be, you can learn a lot from the book. But you said you have, you know, about 65 clients. You're going to get rid of 15.
I look at this. So I actually have technically, right now, I have, 87 clients technically right now. And I'm going to get that down pretty quickly to, I think, around 60 pretty quickly, and then go back and slice from there. So I can't just throw them into CST for any number of complicated reasons, right? And I still haven't figured that out.
I know what the criteria are. I used to do that.
Right.
So I
but there's one like that had some little man, so I've tried, but anyway, we're talking more than, but yes, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So you need to get rid of 20. Several
accounts with a lot of assets that pay me nothing that I've got to get rid of.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you get rid of 87 minus 25 equals 62, which would be a very good number to work from.
Okay.
And then if we add 20 clients at 2.5 million, that's your 50 million, correct?
Yep.
So that's as simple as I can make it for you.
Makes sense.
Now, the question is, how long will it take us to get 20 clients? You're going to get one here, right?
Yeah.
He's going to meet your minimum.
Yep.
So we're on our way. So yep. We have 52 weeks. We really have 40 working weeks. I mean months. 40 working months. Excuse me. 40 working weeks. 40 working weeks, right?
Yeah.
And so if you have 20, what is that? You got to do two a week? No.
2 new clients a week.
No, you know, you're going to do less than one. You're going to do one every other week, right?
Yeah.
One every other week.
Yeah. Two a month. Once every 2 weeks.
Once every 2 weeks. Two a month. That's too many.
Close enough.
Yeah, two a month. 2 a month is right. That's right. 2 a month. One every other week.
Or more people bring in more.
Right. Or what if some absolute minimum is 500,000, right? You know, what if I start bringing in $400,000 or $500,000 clients a month? But then I'm going
to
overburden.
You're not allowed to do that. Your target is 3 million. Your minimum is 1 million.
Okay. And we said absolute minimum is 500,000. Minimum's target's 3.
I got you at an absolute minimum of 1 million. You're not going to get to where you want to go unless they average 2.5 million. You can't bring them in at $500,000. You're going to have too many clients, and then you're going to have to hire another assistant.
Yeah.
Oh, you got your choice. Always have four assistants.
Yep. Got to have a relationship manager in there somewhere too, probably.
Right.
Yep.
And that becomes expensive. That's $150,000 investment, and if it's if it's a managed small account, it doesn't make sense.
That's right. Yep. Okay. Fair enough.
You see how it all ties together. It makes you want, you need to prospect the right people.
Yes. You know, I listened to a call over the weekend with a guy, had a recording of it, and he's with an independent planning firm right outside of Philadelphia. And he's a caller. I mean, he's been in business for 30 years, but all he calls is like, you know, people worth $500 million to $1 billion. That's all they deal with. And they're They're looking for small business owners and business owners that are going to private company exit. That's all they do.
Yeah, looking for actors about the ICO.
Yeah, stuff like that. And his average client is $50 million. But those are pretty hard to get. Still, it's a nice lens to have.
Yeah, I mean, look, the sweet spot for you is right now at 3 to 50 million, okay? I mean, that's really, you get above 50 million, people, you know, become a little bit more difficult to work with.
Yeah, yep, agreed.
Oh, no, they're nice. They're really nice, and they're good. They're great people, but it's just a little easier to work with a group from 3 to 50 than it is somebody with a billion. You're going to have to work with somebody you're going to have to work with somebody that's in charge of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're probably not going to speak directly to them all the time. They don't tend to have people in between when they have, you know, like 50 million. But you get a person with a billion, there's generally somebody they've hired to run their life. Okay?
It's a family office. Usually.
A family office or somebody that they trust, CPA, attorney, or somebody that takes care of all the stuff. And so, you know, that becomes a little bit of a pain.
Yes.
Okay. But you can find them where they do it, you know, don't have that, but it's pretty rare.
Yes.
So you don't want half a million. That's a waste of your time. That's rollovers. That's for the little FA. They're good people. But you can't get to where you want to go by having lots of $500,000 rollovers unless you want to be, you know, Edward Jones, or you want to be, you know, one of these guys with 1,000 accounts. It's just crazy. Makes you crazy. So you want a good business where people actually need you, which is the 3.5 million to 25 to 50 million. They need you, and they're not getting much right now. They're really not, honestly.
Yep.
Okay.
So maybe you want one review a year.
You want to ramp up your service model and create what would look like a family office group for people with a lot of money but aren't willing at this point to hire a private family office group. They want something that looks like it, feels like it, but it's not, you know, they don't want to pay $2 million for it. So, you know, they're willing to pay you $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000. They're not willing to pay $1 million or $2 million for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes sense.
So, next week we will be talking about we're basically through the segmentation. Next week is the last week of segmentation, so you really need to catch up and get that done. Get rid of those accounts out of here.
Yep.
Okay. And you need to be telling your clients the good news. So that's why we tell you that. You know, divide it into pieces and 20% this week and 20% the next week and 20% the week after, because now we're going to be working on organization, and then we'll be working on acquisition. Now, we work on all three all the time, but we kind of leave segmentation behind. So if you have questions on segmentation, next week is the week to ask them.
Okay.
What do we say to these people? What do we say to these people? What do we do with these accounts? What do we do with these accounts? So that's, I'm not going to spend any more time on that than you need, because that's just basic blocking and tackling. Okay? The science and the art is in acquisition.
Yes. And it is that. And it's dynamic, constantly.
Right. So next week we talk about how to become a specialist in your niche. So think about of the people that you talk to, that you have as clients, so those top 20 clients, which ones have something in common that would create a niche for you?
Okay.
And then how do we develop a center of influence inside that niche? And then how do we come world class in terms of knowledge about that niche?
Right.
Okay. And that's how you're going to develop more, more and more referrals and introductions, just like you have done with your church. All right? So your church is a niche.
Mm-hmm.
You've become a center of influence inside that. You have to become a center of influence before you can have other centers of influence. You have to be important enough that you get people's attention. You create real value. So that's what we'll be talking about. So think about that. Think about the niches you already have and the niches that would make sense to you.
Okay.
All right?
Sounds good. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.